Okay, so we want to welcome those who are joining us online. And for about the next, I'm not sure how long, probably about the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at one passage found in John 15, and the theme is abiding in Christ. Now, every now and then people ask me, Mike, what's your favorite all-time passage in the Scriptures? And it probably depends on the day, the month, and the year, because it changes around. But probably the one that probably keeps coming up over and over is this passage in John 15. I just love it. Every time I go through it, I get more out of it. And it's just, in fact, sometimes when I pray for people and I can't think how to pray, this is my default passage. I start praying this over people because I feel like it's that important. Now, some of you who went, some of you are kind of smiling right now. Ivana is. Like, I think I've heard this passage before because last year for the young adults week that we took down in Alabama, we spent a whole week just going through this passage and memorized it. And I'm sure that there's probably some people here who could probably quote it right now. No? Okay. A little rusty there. But I just want to tell you, don't think, oh yeah, I know that. I don't need to come for the next 5 or 6 weeks. Because that's not true. Actually, I can almost promise you, you'll get more out of it this time than you did the first time. That's the way it is with Scripture, right? Okay, so today's going to be a sort of an introduction to this passage. And specifically, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. Let me give you a little bit of the context of this passage, and then we're going to read it. Actually, we may kind of have that. We may do something else before that, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, so Jesus gave this exhortation about abiding in Christ at the very end of his life. In fact, it was after he had shared the Last Supper with his disciples. And he knew that that evening, in just a few hours, he was going to be taken to be crucified. Jesus knew that. He had been talking to his disciples about it, but it was like it was going in one ear and out the other. You know, they weren't getting it. And so after the Lord's Supper, you know, this Last Supper, Jesus gives some last minute instructions. And the heart of what he shared was this passage about abiding in him. Because he knew he was going to be leaving them shortly. And they needed to be prepared for what was next. He had been with them constantly for 3 years. But things were going to be different now. You know, he was going to send his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would come to live inside of them. But they weren't, they still didn't understand that. And because of his death and resurrection, they didn't understand this either. But they were going to experience the supernatural new birth and the new life that comes after that. And because that was going to help them actually live out the Christian life. There was going to be a new supernatural resurrection power that would enable his disciples to live out the life to which he called them. And so these instructions about abiding in Christ would show them how to live in this new power. Now, probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago, I had an illustration up here, and I believe we have the illustration of the rocket. Okay. And we've got it both in Spanish and English. We'll kind of switch it back and forth. But when Jesus was here on earth, he gave the disciples, I call them the core teachings of Jesus. Following Jesus, leaving behind things, denying self, losing life, obedience, faithfulness, loving God with all your heart, strength, and mind and heart, walking in agape love, servanthood, storing up treasure in heaven, bearing fruit, willingness to suffer for him and to be persecuted. These were like radical teachings. In fact, Jesus took the Old Testament and he said, "You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you commit adultery in your heart, it's the same thing." He would talk about greed, that greed is something that's on the inside and it affects you. He would talk about pride. He would talk about self-righteousness. He talked about heart issues. In fact, if you really got technical about it, what Jesus talked about was a much higher standard than what was talked about in the Old Testament. Much more. Like at one time in John 13, he says, "Listen, I'm going to give you a new commandment. That you love one another, how much? As I've loved you." And in fact, it's the type of love that you'll die for one another. That was a lot different than what was before. And basically, it was something that was, can we say, impossible to actually live out? I mean, it was. But because of the resurrection and death of Jesus, specifically the resurrection, all of a sudden we get to know the power of his resurrection. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The power of sin is removed. We're complete in Christ. We know who we are in him. There's the power of the new covenant. There's a going before the throne of grace day and night. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. That changes things. That made it, all the core teachings of Jesus, all of a sudden possible for us to live out. Now you might say, why is there a rocket illustration? Because basically, and this is a very simplified explanation of a rocket ship, but basically a rocket is in two parts. There's the core, which corresponds to the core teachings of Jesus. That's really the heart. That could be the spacecraft that carries people, or in a military situation, that could be the warhead, the bomb, the military part of it. The rocket is what propels it, because you know you can have a spaceship and we could all get in it and we could pretend like we're going to the moon or going into space. But we're not going to go anywhere, are we? Unless we get that rocket to propel us up. And same thing, you know, with, let's say, like a nuclear warhead. There's countries who unfortunately have the technology of a nuclear warhead. But they don't have the means to send it far away. They don't have the empowering part of it. And that's the way we are. Jesus gave us, in the Gospels, radical Christianity. The only problem, it's almost impossible to live. It is impossible to live. And so we're just kind of, we could be in like that space. Oh yeah, I want to love one another and I want to not have greed and I don't want to be prideful and I don't want to do this. I want to love people with agape love. But it's never going to go anywhere unless we have the rocket part of it to propel us forward. And that is what happened at the resurrection and the death of Jesus, but especially the resurrection. It empowers us to live out the Christian life. Well, Jesus knew all this when he was talking to his disciples that last night. And he had told them all sorts of radical things, a radical way of living. And they were constantly failing. You know, they were, wrestling for who's going to be the greatest and stuff like that. They still weren't getting all of it. But Jesus knew that after his resurrection, with the new life, it was all going to change. And this passage about abiding in Christ is what makes it happen. And that's why this is so important. You could put it this way. Abiding in Christ is the door to bearing fruit. It's the door to effective prayer. It's the doorway to truly abiding in His love, to having true joy, to having God glorified in our lives, proving that we're disciples of Jesus. All that happens as a result of abiding in Him. Sadly, most Christians aren't living that way. They're kind of like living, you know, they know what Jesus said. Oh, yeah, you got to love one another. And, oh, you got to die to self. And, we're to serve one another. But they don't do it because they feel like that's almost impossible. They haven't realized that Jesus went to the cross and He resurrected to give us that resurrected power. And abiding in Him is what makes it happen. So it is so important that as Christians, we begin to understand what abiding in Him is all about, and that we actually not just understand it, but we begin to walk in abiding in Him. Okay, a few other things by way of introduction. That word abide, that's kind of an old word. It means to live in, to reside or take up residence, to dwell. In Spanish, the word is, I like it a lot, permanecer. It means to be permanently rooted somewhere. And that's what we're talking about. The Christian life isn't something that I visit Christ once a week, like on a Sunday morning or a house church. No, it's a way of living where I reside in Him. And also, He resides in me. I abide in Him. He abides in me. Okay, there are three main characters in this passage. Actually, it starts off, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. There's the vine dresser. That's the Father. We're told that. The vine is who? It's Jesus. And then the branches we see in verses 2 and 3 are, who are the branches? We are. And we are to abide in the branch. Now that only makes sense. It's a perfect illustration because a branch doesn't just kind of like 2 hours a day decides to kind of connect to the vine, does he? And then he just decides to kind of do his own thing for the rest of the week or for the rest of the day. No, he lives in that vine. And because he lives in the vine, he draws life from it. And so this is to me, it's one of the most beautiful pictures in the scriptures. And that's why I keep going back to it. So again, the vine dresser is who? The Father. The vine is Jesus. And who are the branches? We are. Okay. Now let's read this passage. And we're going to say a few more things by way of introduction. Okay. Jesus is talking to His disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Okay, probably one of the first things you kind of see, there's a lot about abiding, you know, abiding in him, Jesus in us, his words in us, abiding in his love. But the other thing that kind of stands out is this whole thing about fruit. There's a lot about bearing fruit. And actually, that's the primary purpose of the branch. Us is to bear fruit. We exist in order to bear fruit. We don't exist to look beautiful, even though we may be beautiful. We don't exist to take up space. We exist to bear fruit. That is our purpose in life. Now, what is the fruit that we're to bear? And that's really what I want us to, these last few minutes, I want us to talk about. Because we got to understand this. And I think there's two types of fruit that we're to bear, according to the scriptures. One is the fruit of the life of Jesus. In other words, we're to bear his love, his joy, his patience, his peace. Actually, why don't we take a look at Galatians 5? And this is called the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What he's saying here is that if we are abiding in Christ, we're going to bear fruit. And it's not our joy or our peace or our self-control. We can't do it. It's Jesus' love, his peace, his patience, his kindness. In fact, we could go on and look at other places in the scripture. We'll just look at one of them in James 3. But also his compassion, his righteousness. James 3, let me just kind of read that for you. 17 and 18. Not quite there here. James 3, it says 17, 18. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Another way you could say this is that we're to become like Jesus. Now you say, now that's when it gets really impossible. And that's true. We do. It is impossible in our own strength. But the more that we abide in him, the more we become more like him. It's something supernatural. Remember Romans? We went through Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. But being conformed to the image of Jesus, that is God's purpose in us. So when we think about bearing fruit, it means we're becoming more like Jesus. And we'll see more of this as we kind of go over the next 5 or 6 weeks. The second area of fruit is we are to bear fruit by bearing more disciples. I mean, think about it. Every other creature that God has made reproduces himself, right? And it's always they reproduce who they're like. Like bears, they reproduce into what? More bears, right? Elephants into what? Elephants. Elephants don't all of a sudden kind of bear giraffes. It's the way God designed it, you know. Apple trees, what do they reproduce? More apples than apple trees, right? They don't reproduce oranges, you know. And that's just the way it is. And in fact, if there's something that's alive, and if it's not reproducing, eventually it becomes extinct, right? Well, the Great Commission very clearly says that we are to be about making disciples. That means a follower of Jesus who's committed to following him and serving him. And I would even take a step further. A disciple is someone who's reproducing themselves. Because after all, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And in several places, and we'll see some of this as we go through the next few weeks, but disciples should be making disciples. That's part of bearing fruit. By the way, we could look at a lot of verses here, but just Matthew 28. Thank you. Helps mark my place here. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus is telling his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. In other words, everything I taught you, you go now and teach it to other people. And the idea is that they'll go and teach other people and it'll keep reproducing. That is bearing fruit according to Jesus. So if you put these two together, bearing fruit means we're looking more and more like Jesus in our love, our compassion, our joy, our faith, and everything. And we're reproducing ourselves as disciples of Jesus. That's bearing fruit. And bearing fruit is to be our life mission here on earth. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, Jesus would just say, okay, you've kind of come to know me. Why don't you kind of come on up? No, he leaves us down here to bear fruit. And the question we want to be asking ourselves over the next 5 or 6 weeks, are we bearing fruit? Now, just maybe a couple other things real quick that we need to see from this passage in John about bearing fruit. So let's go back to John 15. And one thing that's very clear is that we can bear no fruit unless we are abiding in Jesus. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And he uses the example of a branch. If the branch is not in the vine, can it bear grapes or apples or whatever? No, it can't. And he says the same thing with us. That if we're not abiding in him, you can forget about bearing fruit. It just isn't going to happen. It's impossible. Verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And then I like this phrase. For apart from me, you can do, what does it say? Only a few things? No, it says, you can do nothing. And that is, there's something about us, self-sufficient mankind, we like to be doing things and we like to do things ourselves. But this is something when it comes to bearing true fruit, we can't do in ourselves. It has to be abiding in him. Now, we can do activity and we can kind of do good things. But as far as bearing fruit, as God describes it, we can't do it. Okay, the second thing, the first thing is we can bear no fruit unless we're abiding in Jesus. And the second thing is Jesus is expecting us to bear much fruit. Not just a little bit, not just some, but much. Much fruit. Verse 2. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear what? More fruit. Okay, look at verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He abides in me and I in him. He bears, what does it say? Much fruit. Verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear what? Much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. See, Jesus is saying, if you're really a disciple, you could be bearing not just some fruit, but you could be bearing what? Much fruit. And I think it's so easy for us as Christians to think, well, we kind of think of our relationship with the Lord and our purpose in life is kind of like a secondary thing. This is our primary purpose in life, is to bear fruit. Now, you might say, what about our families? What about our jobs? Yes, one of the ways that we bear fruit is in the context of what God has called us to. You know, to be, have your own business, or to be working as a nurse, or to be, whatever it is. God has called you to do that. But the real purpose is he wants us to be bearing fruit. While we're in the same passage, let's jump down to verse 16, because this is very important too. Jesus is telling his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Now just think about that. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is saying to you that he has chosen you. And not just chosen you, but he's also appointed you. For what? That you would go and, what does it say? And bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain. I like that part, because it's not just what looks like fruit, but fruit that remains, which is fruit that keeps reproducing itself. So he's chosen us. He's appointed us for a holy purpose, to bear much fruit, and that it remains. We are to bear fruit, actually, that's impossible to bear unless we are abiding in him. By the way, Jesus talks about bearing fruit all through his life with his disciples. Remember the parable of the sower? The sower seeds seed on what? 4 different grounds. You know, the dry, hard ground is immediately eaten up. Then there's seed that's sown in what? In the rocky places. It starts off and it kind of fizzles out. Then there's seed that's sown among the thorns, which represents what? The cares and the distractions and the pleasures and the worries of life. And it chokes out. And it's still alive, but it doesn't bear any fruit. And then he says, in fact, let's read the last verse there. Matthew 13, verse 23, I think. Yes, verse 23. He says, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You put it this way, multiplied 30 times, multiplied 60 times, multiplied 100 times. That is much fruit. And that's how we prove to be disciples of Jesus. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about false prophets, and he says, they bear bad fruit. So what's bad fruit? Fruit that's maybe rotting. It tastes bad. That apple doesn't taste good. Or maybe it's infested by worms or something. We're not going to throw that out, aren't we? You know. And he says, well, let's just look a couple places here. Matthew 7, this is on the Sermon on the Mount. First of all, in verse 17. He says, so every good fruit bears good fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. That's how we know if someone is very genuine or not, is by the fruit of their life. Okay, so today was just kind of like an introduction to really this beautiful, life-changing passage, really. The topic of abiding in Christ is of utmost importance to us. It's the doorway. It's the gateway to living out the Christian life in resurrection power. We've also kind of seen today that bearing fruit is really our mission. It's our call as branches. Branches of the vine. We exist and we live in order to bear fruit for him. Good fruit. In fact, we've probably talked about three things here. We've talked about the fruit that we're to bear is supposed to be much fruit. You know, like 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It's supposed to be supernatural fruit. In other words, it's fruit that we can't do without Him. We can't do this unless it, and it's fruit that remains. Like in verse 16, it talks about. So we're going to no doubt keep talking about fruit because it's a major part of this passage. But I really pray that all of us will spend time, even during the week, going over this passage. God, speak to me. Lord, I need to bear fruit in my life. I'm not bearing it that much. And you've called me to bear much fruit. How can I do this? And as we talk about it on Sunday mornings, as you read it on your own and ask God to speak to you, He will do that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You just for the privilege of being able to study Your Word, which is life-changing. It's transforming. Lord, we ask that we would be transformed as a result of spending time and reading and studying this very important topic of abiding in You, Lord. Thank You. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding supernaturally. Lord, teach us how to abide in You. Amen.